Father, thank you for giving us this opportunity to study your word. As we come to these latter parts of Revelation, Lord, ask you to continue to guide us with your Holy Spirit. And grant to us what you have for us in your word. Those warnings and the promises. Lord, as we study what's before us, I ask you to keep me on topic. If I deviate from it, I ask you to bring it back. In Jesus' precious name. We're coming close to the end. We've just got a few more chapters left. You know, we looked at things up until the bowl judgment so far. And one of the areas we talked about is we talked about the lady that fled into the wilderness. The woman that fled into the wilderness. And who was that woman that fled into the wilderness? Who did she represent? Israel, right? And we also looked at the beast. You know, there was a dragon, which was called out as identified as Satan. And there was a beast from the sea, the Antichrist. And there was a beast from the earth, which was the reflection of the mockery of the Holy Spirit, called the false prophet. Now, Satan continues to make these reflections. These mockeries of what God has done. You know, he set himself up in authority, and then he gave that authority to the beast from the sea, similar to how God gave his authority to Christ. And the beast from the sea had mortal wounds, but he didn't die from it. And Christ raised from the dead. Go ahead. Yeah, he sees himself to be better than or equal to God. So he tries to mimic God. You know, this morning we read from two chapters, 15 and 16, where the bowl judgments are poured out. The last of them, and most wrathful of God's judgments. We've looked through them kind of quickly, but there was a theme in it. Whether it be the earth full of loathsome sores, those that took the image of the beast and worshipped it, took the mark on his head, on their head or their hands. The seas being turned to blood, and the seas being turned to blood here, it said, is the blood of a dead man. So this isn't like red, bright blood. This is black, coagulated, nasty blood. And then all the other rivers and springs were turned to blood as well. Even the Euphrates was hit and dried up. And amongst all of this, God turns on the sun. So there's no water to drink across the world. There's no rain. There's scorching heat. And then there's a large earthquake with a sevenfold that the world's never seen. Before. So bad and so terrible. And even with the earthquake, he didn't stop. He brought down hail, the size of a talent. How big's a talent? We don't use that measurement. Yeah. Now, how much weight is a talent from the standpoint of what they're describing here? So when he talks about each hailstone about the weight of a talent. So the weight measurement for a talent was as much as a man could carry in those days. As much as a man could carry was the weight measurement for a talent. That's how big the hail is that's coming down. 75, 80 pound hail, even more than that. Depending on how big of a man you are, I guess. Raining down on the earth. And during this whole time, we hear over and over, they blaspheme the God of heaven because of their pains and of their sores. They did not repent of their deeds. And God cast them even into darkness so much that they want to chew their own tongues out. But they won't repent. You know, if you watch nightly TV on cable, every once in a while you might see an ad from the Atheists United for the Separation of Church and State. But their speaker right now, his name's Ron Reagan, not related to the president, Ron Reagan. And Ronald Reagan ends every one of his ads the same way. He says, "Hi, I'm Ronald Reagan. I'm an unabashed atheist, not afraid of burning in hell." That's how he ends every one of his commercials. There's another group out there right now called UndoJesus.org. It's a group of atheists that want to remove Jesus from mention of history. They just want to wipe him off the face of the earth. Their signs says, "When he comes back, we'll kill him too." Now you look at the Bible when it talks about how they will blaspheme God in the midst of all this hail, all of this devastation, all this utter destruction, they still have that pride. Blaspheme God. You might think, "Oh, people couldn't be that way." Watch TV. If you don't believe me, go look at UndoJesus.org. Yeah, we're sheltered here in the middle of Kansas. But it's still there. Revelations chapter 17. Now, I mentioned before that when we're looking at Revelations 14 through 18, these are kind of occurring in parallel from different points of view. Now, we just saw the point of view from the angels pouring down the bowls of judgment on the earth. Prior to that, we saw the point of view from heaven watching what happens to the remnant on earth. We saw the point of view from the beast and Savior. All this is kind of occurring at the same time. So when we read verse 17, keep it in context that it's happening around the same time as these bowl judgments being poured out. Around the same time as the Christians and those that believe that didn't take the mark of the beast being hunted and killed. Revelation 17:1. "Then one of the seven angels, where the seven bowls come, came and talked with me, saying to me, 'Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harbor, who sets on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth remained drunk with the wine of their fornication. So he carried me away in spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet, and adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. And on her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and the abominations of the earth. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. Then the angel said to me, 'Why do you marvel? I will tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has the seven heads and ten horns. The beast that Saul was and is not, and will send out of the bottomless pit and go to perdition. And those who dwell on earth will marvel, whose names are not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they see the beast that was and is not, and yet is.'" You see, Satan mimics God. God had a wife. God had a woman that we talked about earlier, Israel. Satan has a reflection of that too. The scarlet woman is how she's identified. Babylon, mystery. It's a collection of all of those people in the world that won't accept God. That won't worship him. That will rebel. It's his bride. So when we hear mention of mystery and Babylon the Great, that is that unified spiritualist people that are saved. That's his reflection of the other woman we talked about earlier. But the other woman we talked about earlier with Israel, when God talks about her in the Old Testament, he wants her to come back. It's like, if you just turn away from these false religions and come back to me, I'll give you all of these things. He's got a love for her. He wants to see her come back. This other woman, though, is described as a harlot. Satan wants to see her corrupt. Make abominations of the earth. Verse 9. Here's the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads and seven mountains on which the woman sits. These are also seven kings. Five have fallen. One is, and another has not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short time. The beast that was and is not is himself also the eighth, and is of the seven, and is going to perdition. The ten horns which you saw are ten kings that received no kingdom as of yet, but they receive authority for 1 hour as kings with the beast. These are of one mind, and they will give their power and authority to the beast. They will make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb will overcome them. For he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings, and those who are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. You see, this harlot corrupts the leadership of the earth. Five of these kings have passed. One is, and one is yet to come. And the beast is one of these seven. And then there will be 10 horns, which are 10 more kings, that are given power by the beast in the end days. They haven't come yet. When the beast comes, he'll give them power. These are kings, though. These are leaders of men. And they're so prideful, they believe they can Jesus again when he comes back. Then he said to me, the waters which you saw where the harlot sits are people, multitudes, nations, and tongues. And the 10 horns which you saw on the beast, these will hate the harlot, make her desolate, and make it eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose to be of one mind, to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. And the woman whom you saw is the great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. Well, Babylon is this nation. Satan's children. And these things I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for everything unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins, and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Render her just as she rendered to you, and repay her double according to her works. In the cup which she has mixed, mix double for her. In the measure that she glorified herself and gave luxuriously, in the same measure give her torment and sorrow, for she says in her heart, I sit as a queen and am no widow, and will not see sorrow. thou stayest guest. So I'm afraid of burning in hell. Therefore, her plagues will come in one day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be utterly burned with fire. For strong is the Lord who judges her. The kings of the earth who committed fornication or lived luxury with her will weep and lament for her when they see the smoke of her burning, standing at a distance for fear of her torment, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city Babylon, the mighty city, for in 1 hour your judgment has come." And the merchants of the earth will weep and mourn over her, for no one buys their merchandise anymore. Merchandise in gold and silver, and precious stones and pearls and fine linen, purple, silk, scarlet, and every kind of citron wood, every kind of object of ivory, every kind of object of the most precious wood, bronze, iron, and marble, the cinnamon and incense, fragrance, oil, frankincense, wine and oil, fine flour and wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots, and the bodies and souls of men. The fruit that your soul longed for has gone from you, and all the things which are rich and splendid have gone from you, and you shall find them no more at all. The merchants of these things who became rich by her will stand at distance for fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, "Alas, alas, that great city was clothed in fine linen, purple, scarlet, adorned with gold and precious stones and pearls. From 1 hour, such great riches came to nothing. Every shipmaster of all who traveled by ship, sailors, as many as a trade on the sea, stood at a distance and cried out when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, 'What is like this great city?' They threw dust on their heads and cried out, weeping and wailing, saying, 'Alas, alas, the great city in which all who had ships of the sea became rich by her wealth. From 1 hour, she's made desolate. Rejoice over her, O heaven, and your holy apostles and prophets, for God has appeared. You want her.' Then a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'Thus with violence, the great city Babylon shall be thrown down and shall not be found anymore. The sound of harpists, musicians, flutists, and trumpeters shall not be heard of you anywhere. No passport in any craft shall be found in you anymore. The sound of a millstone shall not be heard in you anymore. The light of a lamp shall not shine in you anymore. And the voice of a bridegroom and bride shall not be heard in you anymore. For your merchants, for the great men of the earth, and by your sorcery, all the nations will deceive. And in her was the blood of the prophets and the saints, of all who were slain on the earth." Amongst all of these things that's happening, man will still be so prideful to the very end, to not repent, but to continue to blaspheme God. They'll hunt down the remnant of the earth. Babylon will be covered in the blood of all of the saints that they've killed. That's why she's called the Scarlet Lady. It talks about the beast and them burning her. See, the beast wants power for himself. And this lady, the Scarlet Lady, represents the bride of Satan, the bride of the dragon. And this Antichrist will even overthrow her to try and get the glory for himself. For God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind and give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. There's a lot in these verses that we look through today. But this comes to the end of the bold judgments. What we have left on earth, everybody that's still left on earth at this point has been given ample opportunity. All of the Christians, all of the people that can convert, all of the Jews, they've all been taken. All we have left on the earth is those that refuse to repent and worship God. Babylon's their capital. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for giving us this opportunity to see just how depraved man's heart can be. Just how prideful we can be. That in spite of all of these horrendous things, we still won't repent. Father, we thank you for calling, for choosing, giving us that opportunity to believe. There is hope, not in us, but in your Son, Jesus Christ. If we were left to our own, be a world like the harlot, bound in the blood of others, trying to find our own way to power, so it destroys us. Thank you for giving us insight, Lord. Thank you for giving the Holy Spirit to us, to witness to our hearts, and show us what's ahead. Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray. There are people today that will blaspheme your name. Lord, we ask mercy that you give them that opportunity to know your Son and that time to repent. Thank you, Jesus, precious name.